It's time to chat some bollocks about fanny tits and bum.
No topic is off limit for these potty mouthed foul mums.
So tell us all your secrets, we like to share the truth.
About saggy tits and anal warts and ice cubes up your hoof.
No holes barred.
Hi.
Another, what day is it? Monday.
It's Monday. You look very nice in that top.
Oh, thanks. It's really old. It's very bobbly.
Oh, is it? I like it. That colour really suits you.
Mustard.
It's mustard.
Mustard.
Oh, there you go. To anyone listening, it's anyone, hopefully
mustard.
Everyone.
How are you doing, Laura?
Yeah, all right.
What's going on? What's the news on the block?
I had my coil fitted on.
Oh, yes.
Thursday, I think.
How
Friday,
was
whatever
that?
It was. It was all right. Wasn't that bad.
Yeah.
Just my cervix is a cunt.
Yeah, I know. Your cervix is like on a planet of its own, isn't it?
Yeah. Like she said, she said your cervix and your uterus are like in completely different directions, which is amazing. How did I get pregnant so easily twice when clearly
they're basically
it's like
the other way.
It's like the solar system, you know, like one's in one direction and one's in the other. One's bloody Pluto and one's the sun. But yeah, it wasn't that bad.
What did she say? Your cervix was north facing, is that right?
She said it's exceptionally north and your uterus is east. If we were looking at this on a compass or a map, I'm not very good with directions.
How do you distinguish what's north? I my sense of sort of general geography, location, everything, I'm terrible. But
yeah,
you know, you're like, how
adding,
do you know?
Adding a vagina into all of that, I have no idea.
Yeah, like, is it north as in north in the whole world or like north in your insides? Do you know what I mean?
Don't know.
And what way would be north? Facing up, I would have thought, to, like as if it was looking up towards your nostrils.
I don't know. But I've had it in and it's fine. Like some people say that it's horrendous. Like it wasn't, I know you said your first one was horrendous.
First one, but that was pre-babies. So I think it makes a difference if you've had children or not, because before you've had kids.
Why was it horrendous? What, painful?
Yeah. But if you think about it, your uterus is like the size of a walnut before you have kids. And then you have babies and it's just like
it's
massive.
It's a walrus's arsehole.
It's a bimbag blowing in the wind.
Clearly not mine. I mean, fucking hell. She's having a good old root around in there. She's like, you're right. I was like, oh, yeah, that's fine. Don't worry.
So, isn't it the weirdest sensation though? But yeah. So the first time I had it, and then I think the first like 48 hours after I'd had it fitted was so bad because my body was just trying to reject it.
Yeah.
So I had like excruciating period cramps essentially that were quite debilitating. I couldn't get out of bed.
Yeah, like I still got cramps now. If anything, they went away. They seem to fucking come back again. But they're not debilitating.
No, but it's probably just gone, oh, hello, what's this? And then just forgotten about it, gone, oh, no, I've got this thing in me. What is this?
That sounds like me.
Get it out.
That's just me generally.
So, it was fine. And then I think I took it out because I ended up having this weird rash on my face that was like, I don't know if the two were linked, but I went on this big rabbit hole, like down this big rabbit hole online. And it was like, oh, yeah, this did this to my face. And it was, So I got it removed. And then I had it again after I'd had Oliver, which was a totally different experience because, you know, it didn't hurt at all. Didn't even know
it
had gone in, really.
Take it out?
No, because you cough and they just pull the string and it like goes, meh. It's like a little umbrella, just
lovely.
Collapses.
The shit we go through.
I know. It is
wild,
isn't it?
What form
of
contraception have you got? I was like, my husband's vasectomy. She was like, yeah, that's an answer. I was like, that's all I do. Don't do anything else.
Yeah, but so you're not having it for contraception reasons though,
are
you?
No. Yeah, mine's hormonal. So yeah, I've got the hormonal coil. But some people said they went psychotic with it. I mean, I can't say that I feel anything different. It's just...
You're never going to know until you try it at the end of the day.
Yeah. And also for people that have been put off by the idea of it, because I was put off by the idea of it. And so I spoke to this nurse.
Yeah.
And she said, you only ever hear the horror stories. The people that have had the bad experiences are the ones that tend to talk about it.
Yeah.
It's not the ones that go, oh, my God, it was great.
Yeah,
But the idea of not having a fight, I'm not having to worry about my periods anymore. I can't fucking wait.
So you just won't have periods with the coil, do you?
Won't have periods.
No, because it basically thinks that the coil is a baby, doesn't it?
Oh, is that what it is?
Well, I think so, because you've got something physically in your womb, then obviously you've got the hormones.
The hormones
telling your body that there's a baby in there.
There's a little plastic baby in there.
With strings.
What did you have to check for the strings, don't you? Have you done that
yeah.
yet?
Yeah, no, I'm too scared.
It's weird. Feels like, because it's kind of wire, really. It just feels a bit pointy, like the end of a pipe cleaner.
I said to Steve, I was like, when we have sex, because I was due on. So literally I went, and you know, you're like, please don't come on, please don't come on, please don't come on. I didn't come on. So I've been on my period since. But I said to Steve, I was like, when we have sex, you'll be able to feel it. And his face.
Really?
It was horror. Like, what do you mean I'm going to be able to feel it? Will it touch me? It's like, they're just like, they're wires. He was like, is it going to pierce my skin? It's like, fuck off. When you act that stupid, it doesn't make me want to have sex with you anyway.
Also, your penis isn't that long, Steve.
Yeah. Get over yourself.
Although I do remember when, because I've used so many different forms of contraception, I used the cap for a while, which we did talk about, which was like, fucking just
so fucking Germaline or whatever it is you put up there. Spermicide.
Even the word makes me want to fucking vomit. So, but when at the time when I was using that, I had a boyfriend who had a massive penis, probably one of the biggest penises I've ever manhandled. And he sometimes would feel it.
What, your cervix?
No, yeah, he'd feel the cap.
Oh, he'd feel the coil.
Because the cap was over the top of the. Yeah. You know, the entrance to your cervix, a little hat, essentially.
A small sun hat for Ken.
It was a bowler hat, actually. So it was like a little round
thing,
wasn't it?
Yeah.
But he would feel it. And sometimes I could feel him, like, just, you know, prodding the rim.
Prodding the rim?
And I'd be like, oh, God, don't get me fucking pregnant. I can't have your babies. You're well irresponsible.
I can't have your babies. When can I ask a question? Because obviously I have had the luxury of being in a relationship with someone who I wanted to have babies with from quite a young age.
Yeah.
What age do you think it really kicked in where you were like, fuck, I want to have a kid and I'm not with someone?
Oh my, look, I'm going to say that was my entire existence before my 30s.
Okay. So forever. I think I always wanted to be a mum. I always wanted to be a mum.
There, yeah. But there were people, there were men on my journey of that, of like, I knew pretty much straight away that I was like, yeah, I'm not having kids with you.
Yeah.
You know, or like, I just knew it wouldn't be a long-term relationship. It was like, this is definitely just a fling. Yeah, that was okay. You know, that was okay. But I would always be still like, oh, am I wasting my time a bit here? Because I really need to find the person that I want to have babies with.
Yeah.
But then I suppose
it isn't it mad?
Even my, like, yeah, I think I never wanted kids. The first boyfriend that I ever had that was a long term one, that was like 6 years from a young age, like 18 to 24, I never wanted to have kids with him because I was like, I just couldn't see myself being with him in the future because he just gave me the ick so bad. I don't know why I stayed in that. I was just too young and naive to leave.
I know. Like, yeah, I get it. Totally get it.
And the one after him was like, big penis guy.
Yeah.
Brought in the rim. Let's call him Brought in the rim. That's his nickname. He was like, I mean, I was so in love with him. I would say he's the first person that was ever truly, properly, like, mad head over heels in love with. Definitely. Way more than the 6 year guy. Pride in the rim. He touched my cervix and stole my heart.
None of that rhymes, but well
no,
done.
It was great. I loved it.
I think if you gave a little bit more time to that, you'd make it work.
I could make it work.
Yeah. I don't want to do you down, but I don't think that was your best.
No, I did write a song about him, funnily enough, because he cheated on me. Wanker.
Oh, and you wrote a song.
Mate, he broke
you
my
and Rob
heart.
Are destined for each other.
I know, that's it. Yeah.
He really absolutely broke
my heart. But I would, in my mind, I thought, yeah, I want to be with him and have his babies. But it would have been an absolutely horrendous mistake.
Yeah.
But I did genuinely want that. And then, I can't remember who was after that. A couple of, yeah. Oh, yeah. Then it was Ben, good old Ben, who I definitely wanted to have babies with him and really loved him. But he didn't want to have kids, did he? So he was my, like, we broke up because at 28, I got to 28 and I was like,
oh, look. You were 28 when you broke up with him?
Yeah, because
okay,
at 27,
time to tick in.
I said to him, I'm giving you a year, mate. And if you don't want kids by the end of this year, we're done because I need to find another person that, like,
I need to find somebody's semen.
You're not on salmon, that's me. And he was like So, I mean, yeah, he really to and fro of it because he really loved me, but he was like, ultimately, you know, in the end, he was like, I don't want to have kids. And it was quite, yeah, it was really heartbreaking because
yeah, I bet.
We still really loved each other, but it was like, this is, I have to have children.
Yeah.
Little did I know.
Yeah, no, fucking hell. I mean, if we all knew, I'd still do it, Vic. That's a frustrating thing. I'd still fucking do it.
Yeah,
because
I know,
even
of course,
through
oh
all
God,
of it,
yeah.
I still love them. You know, it's mad.
Yeah,
there's
it
no
is mad.
Other relationship in my life that feels that triggeringly awful that I'd want to keep at.
Yeah,
other
I know.
Than being their mum.
Yeah, exactly.
Go back for more.
And then after him, there was another one who I deeply loved, but who was just chaos, absolute fucking chaos.
I know about that one.
You know about him. Also broke my heart. And then I met Rob, and it was like, oh my God. I think the thing with Rob was that he was so...
How old were you when you met Rob?
I was 30. I just turned 30. So I turned 30 in the June, and I was like, oh my God, I'm an independent woman. I was living in my own flat. No, I didn't buy it. Obviously, I was renting it, but I felt very grown up. I'd done a year and a half of therapy, mainly because of that dickhead guy. The one that broke my heart. And was
But
an
maybe
arsehole.
You wouldn't have met Rob without that.
I wouldn't. I would never have met Rob without it because I wouldn't have been open to it.
No. And
there were many other men as well in between all of that, but some
That's
of them were
right.
just fuck buddies, you know, but I was like, there's no way I was having kids with them. I was like, you're so boring, but I like your penis. That's how it worked. And then, I met Rob. And I think with him, within like the space of the first month, I mean, I knew that I was going to like marry him and have babies with him because it just felt, he felt so secure to me. He felt so like I'd known him my whole life. So, and it wasn't the wild headiness of, you know, some of my previous experiences. It was just like, oh my God, it's you. You know, it was like
I know.
That.
Yeah, I know. Like, obviously, when Steve and I split up when I was 21, and I obviously instigated all of that. I had absolutely no idea. I don't really know how Steve and I, like, you know, when you're like, I don't really get it. I don't get how we met so young.
Yeah.
I can't get enough of him. It drives me fucking mad. Like, I just want to fucking punch him straight in the fucking face, you know?
Yeah.
But even after 24 years of being together, I still absolutely, I don't know. I think we both take for granted what we have together because it's not what the relationship we have has evolved over time, but it's normally the kind of relationship you get when you've kind of, you know, you've had quite a few rodeos.
Yeah. And you've like trials.
Steve and I just rodeoed with
tested.
Each other. Yeah, exactly. And I've not had to go through like all of that. We've kind of gone through it with each other. Obviously, like I said, we split when I was 21, but it wasn't for a great period of time. I made a lot of mistakes in those few months, but
I think as I'm so glad that I did really wait for the right person to have babies with. Like, I'm so glad that I didn't force Ben to have kids with me, because what would have happened was we would split up. Like, he was not cut out for fatherhood at all.
But I'm the same though. Like, Steve and I have both said we were together 9 years before we had Elliot. So we had got all of our like fucking irresponsible
party days
shit out of the way.
Yeah.
And I'm so pleased we didn't do it sooner. I said to Steve, we wouldn't have stayed together. No way.
I suppose that's quite unusual as well. If you had got together quite young and then you didn't have children for quite a long time. But that,
so I was 26,
right,
which I think is quite young still.
To me, that sounds young. But then I live in London, mate, where no one seems to have a baby until they're 35. That seems to be like, do you know
so
what I mean?
I was 26 and I was 31. So 31 when I had Toby. So 26 feels really young, even though I guess it
even
wasn't.
Just it's the 20s.
It was only 4 years away from the 30, wasn't it? From the number 3-0. Yeah. So it wasn't that far off. In fact, I was 26, nearly 27. So, I had him in the January and I was 27 in the April. So, you know, but we wouldn't have stayed together if we'd had a kid really young.
No.
No fucking way on this planet.
It's weird I do know a couple of people that have had their babies really young and now they're like completely out the other side now and they're like my age and they're just finding this whole new life and like going out loads and, you know, doing all that stuff that I did in my 20s. And I do think like I'm glad I did it the way around that I did it.
Oh, yes, absolutely same, because I just think...
I'm very tired now.
I was also really fucking irresponsible.
Yeah.
really reckless, really irresponsible, really carefree.
Yeah.
And I don't, and I know people that had their kids really young, they won't know any different, but you're never the same once you become a parent.
Yeah.
And I was really fucking reckless, Vic.
Well, because even when you're reckless, you've got no responsibilities. Even when your kids are grown up, you're still going to feel like a responsibility to them, right?
Of course you are. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And like, obviously Elliot's that much older, so we're kind of on the precipice of coming out of it. You know, we can see the end.
Yeah.
And well,
I'm going to actually say as well, I mean, this is very off brand for me. But I'm really enjoying my kids at the moment. Like, I am.
Oh, no, that's nice. They're that's such lovely.
So they are 4, nearly 5 and 7. And I feel like these might just be, and I've heard this from other people, that I feel like these are like the sort of golden years before you hit the teenage bullshit. Well,
I mean, I'm kind of, I can honestly say that I'm quite enjoying this.
Yeah, like we just keep having really nice weekends.
Because he has a brilliant sense of humour.
Yeah.
He makes me laugh so much.
That's it, exactly. And we all have a laugh together. Like, that's the, I mean, you know, what Edith did the other day, I thought, oh my God, this is my daughter. So the Asda guy came to deliver the food and you can just hear him. We were eating our breakfast. So he couldn't hear us, but we could hear him because he was like laughing. And obviously Rob was doing his whole brummy thing of having to have a fucking conversation for 4 hours with everyone. And the guy laughed and he was like, like that. And he just looked at me and just went, like she's taking the piss out of the ass driver. But I thought, I couldn't stop laughing. I was like, beautiful. That was absolutely beautiful.
Congratulations. Tip of the hat to you, Edith. Well
done.
You have
learnt well from the piss taking master, your mother. Well done. Well done. And even better, you did it out of earshot.
Yeah, well someone's done. Back. You read the room well. So I think that, and I know the teenage years are complicated. They do hold a lot of challenging moments.
Yeah.
And I get that obviously girls can be very different to boys.
Yeah.
And it's a bit like the fucking coil. You hear all the horror stories of the teenage years. I don't know.
It's the same as anything to do with being a woman, birth as well. You only ever hear the fucking horror stories, don't you?
I don't think it's that bad. Like, for me personally, not being that bad.
No.
But then I've
done a lot.
It's
also personality of the child in it too. Yeah. So you got.
And also, I've done a lot of work on myself. I'm not saying anyone else. If your child is a cunt as a teenager, this is not a reflection on you. But what I'm saying is I've personally done a lot of work on myself over the last couple of years. And I've had to re-look at the way that I parent because I want to be able to just do things differently than I've previously done. And as a direct result of that, things are just quite lovely.
Yeah. No, you know? Honestly, we've had some really nice weekends. And it gets to the end of the weekend, you're like, I had a really nice weekend, actually. Like, just being able to do shit. Like, we went out for a Sunday lunch in a pub yesterday.
Oh, you know, lovely.
Like, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And it wasn't fucking chaos from the second we got there.
Oh, mate. You're on the app now.
I know.
I know you
obviously
can't believe it.
We still have our moments because, you know, I have got two very, you know, sensitive children that are sensitive to life. But
life is going to be that way.
Yeah.
You aren't a cookie cutter lifestyle creator.
No, I mean, I am saying that. And then what happened on Saturday when I took Oliver to Softplay, that was a fucking example of when it's chaos. But there's a reason for it. It's because, you know, he's dyspraxic and he can't sort of handle those environments. They're very overstimulating. So we went to Softplay, it was crazy. He had an absolute gigantic meltdown, but we dealt with it because we're so used to that now and we know what to do when he gets like that. And you can, you know, it's your kid, you can see it's happening. I could just see his brain just going, pew, pew, pew. Took him out of the space. When we were in the playground, and you know, we were with some other kids as well. Like, there were all these massive, he calmed down immediately once we get outside as well. Like, as soon as he's out of the environment, he does calm down. So it went back. We're kind of like, okay, we're sort of back to maybe not square one, but maybe square 3 from 10. You know what I mean? I think that's a good way of describing it, actually. We're not, because we never go back to square 0 after he's had that level of, you can't.
But
it's square 0,
can't.
Is it?
You know,
is that what it's
you
called?
Know that.
It is, isn't it? I'm not just making that up.
What?
Square 0. Is that a thing?
I mean, I've never heard of it.
Well,
okay.
What?
I thought it was just your own analogy. And I was like, okay, this is her descriptive
Let's
way.
It.
Let's go. Okay.
Square
I'm
zero.
Holding space for you in your square 0. not but a I, thing. I don't know, but I also don't know a lot of things, so
no, okay,
don't
good.
Quote me.
Oh my god, it's square one. So yeah, square so zero. Fits the park.
We never get back to square zero. You do when you're fucking dead, Vic.
Yeah, that's it. Square zero is death. That's it. So we went over to the park and there was all these massive fucking puddles. It was really muddy. And the kids were not in like outdoor clothing. We weren't expecting to go to the park, whatever. So they weren't prepared. And he's also taken his coat off because he was hot, apparently, even though it's freezing cold. Anyway, so they kept jumping over the puddles and you know what you're like, guys, I'm not going to tell you again. Someone's going to fall in the puddle. Lo and behold, who fucking falls in the puddle? The dyspraxic kid that's already recovering from a major meltdown, my son Oliver, face first. He slid for so long because it was so muddy.
Please tell me you laughed.
Yeah, I was laughing. I was like, and then immediately stopped because I knew what was happening.
Yeah.
Slid along, face down in a massive muddy puddle, literally covered head to foot in mud. Like,
was it like that image of that guy walking across the field? That had been dragged along by his dog. And he goes, don't fucking talk to me about it. Was it like that?
It was like that. And then, like, you know, back in the day when you went out, you used to have a million and one things with you in case of emergencies. Yeah. Like,
all that's
everything.
Gone now.
It's all gone now. Don't take anything out. So I didn't have a single tissue to wipe him off. All I had was a bottle of water. So I had to douse him in the water because we were miles away from the car
this
as well.
Is too much, Vic.
And then he was screaming. He was just like, like, because it was just sensory overload, everything else. And he was like, I don't like it. That's what he kept saying. I was like, yeah, I don't fucking like it either, mate, but this isn't helping. Everyone was staring at me. Everyone, like all the parents were just staring at us like, what a terrible parent. They got like the mud off his hands. Luckily, he hadn't had his coat on. So I took his T-shirt off. So he had nothing on underneath it. He was like, why are you getting me naughty, naughty? Aww. And then I put his coat on and we got back to the car and had to take his trousers off and he had to travel home in just his underpants.
Love him.
Though he did think that was funny because he was like, the girls were laughing and be like, oh, we can see Oliver's bum. And he thought it was hilarious. So, but yeah, Jesus Christ. And we spent the rest of the day on like square five.
I think you need to drop the squares.
Yeah, we do.
There's no square 10. There's square one, but I've never heard of, you know, you never get back to square zero.
Never, because it doesn't exist. All right, should we have a story?
But you know what, actually, before we have a story, yeah, can we talk about, you know, your relationship with your children, you say about teenagers being difficult. I actually had a really great moment with Elliot on Friday where I took him to the hairdressers. And
That's right. Oh my god.
I cannot, like, to all of the listeners, I don't think there will ever be a description of how shit happens to me, because you know, Steve's been with me for a long fucking time and even he says, I just don't get it, I don't understand how this stuff happens. But we get there, Elliot sits down, he's getting his hair cut, and then this other guy walks in with what I assume to be his father. Now this man is got to be 50s, 60s. That's fine, not a problem. So Elliot's getting his hair cut. I'm kind of chatting, looking at my phone. In actual fact, I'm messaging Victoria.
Yeah, you're messaging me.
I was literally messaging Victoria. This guy sits down and then he just starts talking like about doctors. Do you want to know what the problem is with doctors? And I'm very aware of the fact that he's talking at me.
Yeah.
And I look up from my phone and he says, it's that they don't listen. And I actually can't form words, Vic, as to what fucking then went down. Because he talked at me about doctors and he was like, do you want to know what happens when somebody doesn't, when I don't get the right answer? Do you want to know what happens? And I was like,
oh my God, he's a psychopath.
Yes. Like, yeah. And then Vic was messaging going, Laura, just don't engage. I was like, I'm not. And he's still talking at me. Anyway, the hairdresser immediately picks up on the fact that I also don't want to be in this conversation. And she starts talking to me about something that a mutual friend of ours and where their child goes. He interrupts the conversation and goes, oh, yeah, I've heard about that place. Yeah, it's really
oh
great.
Oh, my God, go away.
He then goes, so back to the doctor.
Yeah.
And the thing is with the pay scale of the doctor is, you know, the guy at the top. He's getting the biggest pay rise, isn't he? It's a bit like the military.
My God.
I couldn't fucking believe it. I walk out of the hairdressers and we walked home and Elliot took the piss the whole way. Brilliant. And we laughed the whole way. He actually patted me on the back and went, gutted, mum.
I love that.
I said to him, I went, what happened? I don't understand. And he said, the hairdresser, she said to apologise and say, you look like you're really enjoying yourself. And she then messaged me and said, I am really sorry. I was like, I don't get it. I don't get it. How the fuck did that happen? So that, and although that was a horrific moment, it was actually a brilliant comedic moment.
Mate,
for
you
Elliot
are
and I to
not
share.
A magnet, basically.
I know. I don't know why, because I'm not mental. I mean, I know I come across as mental, but I said to Steve, I'm quite a performative person. But now
you're also
that
very
I...
friendly. I think you're very friendly. So that's
mate,
the
I
thing.
Wasn't friendly to him. I was messaging
you.
I wasn't even giving off a vibe. I didn't even smile.
I feel like maybe he was just really needing to talk about the pay scale of doctors. And so whoever
and
was
the
sat there, he was going to talk about it.
Like, fuck off. But yeah,
I hate those conversations, mate. They're so, you know, like, this is so boring. Like, I don't care. Don't talk to me.
And like, I that's can be, I can clock in to what I would call work mode. Yeah. I.e., let's perform. That's fine. Yeah. And then there's other times where I think, no, it's not fucking required of me. I'm not doing
it.
I'm getting my son's fucking haircut. So that's exactly what I'm going to fucking do. Fucking shut up.
Oh my God.
And you know, when you're just like, fuck off.
Yeah. I know.
I'm still livid, still raging. Absolutely.
I sometimes do
livid.
Feel like it's men as well. Like that, just they're so fucking entitled, these older men that are just like, yeah, you will listen to me because I've got something really important to say.
Oh,
go away.
That
no, you don't.
It's literally exactly what it was. Yeah. That's exactly what it is. It was, I'm so important. And what I've got to say is far more important than anything you could ever possibly think of. And it's like, mate, have you ever got laid?
No. We've got here a thrush story.
Oh, I love a thrush.
Yes.
Love a bit of thrush.
Do you know what? I haven't had thrush for such a long time.
Me neither.
Oh,
you know
yeah,
why?
Because, well,
drop the
family flannel is dead.
The flanneling is dead. And so my pH levels are flourishing.
Perfect. Absolutely perfect. Okay. So, all right, Sags. Thought I'd let you know of a situation at Boots Pharmacy the other day. So I've had a shitty chest infection last for a few weeks. Got some antibiotics for the doctor. Couple of days in and thrush arrives.
Of
brilliant. Because as we know,
yeah,
antibiotics can cause a...
That's what you can do.
Big hoo-ha in the bacterial... gut, but how then how fits in like your insides? I suppose it just encourages candida to grow, right?
Yeah.
And then you've got candida in your flips. Off to Boots, me and my itchy minge go. Ask the lady at the pharmacy nice and quietly for some thrush treatment. She, not very quietly, asks if I've been diagnosed by a doctor in the last 6 months for it. I say no. She then proceeded to tell me I have to get a prescription and she can't sell it to me.
What? That's bollocks.
That's absolute bollocks.
What and also, it actually has big posters in doctor surgeries now about the stuff that you don't need to go to a doctor over.
Yeah, thrush is on there, bitch. Our chat continues for a few minutes. I try and convince her nicely that I'm good. I know what it is, et cetera, et cetera. In the end, she gets the head pharmacist over to explain. He pretty much shouted across the whole shop about my situation and there's absolutely no way he can sell it to me. Blah, blah, blah. At this point, I'm pissed off. It's an over-the-counter medicine. It is, isn't it?
Yeah, it is over-the-counter.
You don't need to get it prescribed.
She's not gone in there and gone, oh, can I have two lines of crack cocaine, please?
That's it. So I say very, very loud and very clear, looking him straight in the eye. Look, mate, I'm not a fucking child. I'm 39 years old and I've had thrush before. I know what I'm doing. I know what it's from. Don't treat me like a fucking idiot. I suggest you give that treatment now before I jump over this fucking counter and get it to myself.
Yes!
Never disgruntle a woman with yeasty flaps because she will turn on
We're
you.
She's already having to deal with a fucking
that's it.
Chest
an
infection.
Minge.
And now the candida has just gone absolutely fucking mental. The last thing she needs.
Oh my God, it gets better. This story gets better.
What?
He turned and got the box off the shelf, as he well should. Wasn't hard, was it? I said as I tapped my card on the machine, still raging. I don't want to give you the £19 for the privilege of embarrassing me. So now it's my turn. Even louder, I said, don't fuck a woman off who has an itchy cunt, you fucking bastard. Oh my God, it's all kicking off in Boots.
Jesus Christ. What would you, if you were in that queue, can you imagine?
I would be rude for her. wouldn't
absolutely.
You?
Absolutely. I would be like, give her the fucking, give
I'm
it
gonna
out
a little whoop when she said it and everything. Yeah. Yay, go, Yussi Minj. I turned, walked away, held my head up high with a few approving nods and smiles as I would go.
Yeah.
He was bright red and very embarrassed. What an arsehole. Fuck you, pharmacist on your high horse. Fuck you. She said fuck you many times. That was in Worcestershire. So if you were in Worcestershire on a, I don't know, a Saturday, and there was a woman subtly or not so subtly getting a little scratching at the counter, shouting at the pharmacist.
I can't even believe that they'd turn her away for that.
They're wrong. That you can't.
Yeah, because
no,
I'm pretty sure the only reason why that they would ever say you need to be seen is if you had said, oh yeah, I was treated for it. I keep being treated for it, like I repeatedly have it, I can't get rid of it. That would be the only time a pharmacist should ever turn you away.
That is excellent behaviour, though. I love that. Fucking I don't know great. If I would have the balls to do that, would you?
I think it would very much depend on my mood.
And also how bad the yeast infection was.
Yeah.
Because you need that treated.
Well, natural Greek yoghurt, it has the same impact. Did you know that?
Yes, I have used that before.
There you go.
Yeah,
I'm never having yoghurt around your house. She's been dipping her minge in it. Yeah,
it's
really
hard to get authentic Greek yoghurt. Did you know that?
Stop. You're such a cunt. Do you think the Candida knows? You're an imposter!
Yeah, it's middle class. Like, excuse me.
You
this
shall
isn't genuine
pass.
Greek yogurt. This is Greek yogurt style, not actual Greek yogurt.
It's authentic Greek yogurt.
I only know this because Rob's ripping 30 vegetables a week,
journey. It would be Rob. Of course it would be Rob.
He was like, oh, fine, we need to get some authentic Greek yogurt and I'm really having trouble sourcing it. And then we look at all the labels and like, there's only like one. You know, the one that is called, it's got a funny name and I can't remember it, like Yarda, something's really fucking expensive.
Of course
they do a 10%, a 5% and a 0% one.
Never heard of it.
And a massive pot. You'll see it in the shop.
No, still don't know.
It's like £4 a pot, mate. It's well expensive.
I don't understand how we went from this girl's yeasty flaps to the authentic
yogurt recommendation.
It probably would have cost her 19 quid in Greek yogurt.
That's true. It would have done, yeah. She'd probably need a tub for each flat.
What an absolute dick, though.
I do remember putting yogurt on my fanny, though. And then when it sort of like starts to dry a little bit, it's very weird. And then you open your knickers and you're like, oh my God, what's happening here? And then it's just like
did
weird.
I milk a cow?
It's like really weird, almost like rolls of sort of formed yogurt. You've made like a froob.
Is that like a froob?
The tubes of yogurt. Yeah. As if you'd frozen it. You
could literally just store it in your knickers. Kids get hungry, be like, sweet enough, don't worry. Here
I've
you
got
go.
One of these for
here's
you.
It's a froob. It's a pussy froob.
What flavour is it? Tuna.
It tastes fishy. And it's warm. There's a pube in it.
Oh my God. So funny.
But that whatever that pharmacist in Worcestershire, you're
you
a dick.
Wanker, if you're listening. Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't try and shame us. Oh, they didn't really shame her. She was just refusing to give her medicine, which is probably part of his job. But, you know, there you go. Come on.
Can't
no.
Have been
she was a
part
woman
of his fucking job because he gave it to her.
Yeah, exactly.
So ethically.
I don't get what the rules are.
But there is a big poster literally in my doctor's surgery because I got the coil fit. I know. And it listed all of the stuff that said you no longer need to go to the doctor for.
Right.
And thrush was fucking on there.
Okay. Well, maybe they just didn't get the memo.
The old eyeballs, you know, they had a little perusal as I was waiting
was
to be heard for my fanny to be. I had the smear done at the same time.
Oh, yeah,
didn't
you
I?
Did. Yeah, double whammy. Just get it all out while she got your fanny
lucky
out.
On me.
Lucky on me.
What a day.
I need to get my smear test. I had a letter through the post.
Get it booked.
Saying,
there you go. There's your reminder, girls.
I'm for ages. I don't remember the last time I had one.
3 years if you just got your letter.
Probably. Well, there yeah, definitely.
Oh, my God, look at us. We're in sync with everything. Can we stop?
We are.
Oh, if anything terrible happens to you, I'm going to be terrified.
Well, you know it's coming. That's all.
Well, I mean, I can only apologise, guys. We're going to have to cut this a little bit short because as we were affectionately talking about being a mum and the fact that you just, you know...
your kids, fanny freebs.
Yeah, fanny freebs. And earlier saying, oh, you know, I love my kids so much that, I haven't got the car.
Oh, no, she's got to go and pick up. Well, she's got to go and take some trainers to school.
Yeah, but I can't because I haven't got the fucking car.
Can you put them in an Uber?
Yeah, I know we don't really have Ubers around here.
Oh, where? I don't know what to do without Ubers.
We do, but they're not particularly great.
No.
Oh, motherfucker.
Right, we'll round up so that you can get on with your parenting task. That's the end of this week's podcast. If you want to send us any stories, any other business, you know the score. You can email us at noholesbarredpodcast@gmail.com. Or what else can they do, Laura?
They can head on over to our Instagram page at noholesbarredpodcast and slide on into our DMs.
And don't forget, you can get your sex toys from our website of the same name.
Nicely done.com.
There we go.
Nicely done. I like that.
And we shall see you slags next Tuesday.
See you next Tuesday.
Bye.
Hi, my name is Kay Adams, and to be honest, I'm not so good with the aging process, so I enlisted my old chum, the filter-free Cara McKenzie, to advise.
Could you imagine being a porn star? The room would need to be really hot for me to strip off.
To be honest, she's not much help, but she is rather amusing. And along with some great guests, Joe Brand, Andy Oliver, Anton Dubek, Ruth Langsford, and Craig Revel Horwood, darling, we are learning how to be 60. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.